I'm Are You Serious? And this is my show.
Natural disasters, and eventually the end of the world. Are you serious?
Welcome to the weekend edition, and we have been asking for your audio comments and questions. Do go to areyouseriousradio.com and give us some comments. And before we respond to this comment here, we do have Burning Man founder Larry Harvey on the panel with us today, Jeff Deal.
And it's a pleasure.
And our returning champion, Diana Brown. And some of you may remember a few episodes back, I made everybody depressed by talking about the suffering of dinosaurs. And a recent discovery seemed to show that dinosaurs died in agony, contorting themselves, snapping their necks, banging themselves around on the dirt. And here's an audio comment on that discussion.
I was wondering if anyone ever considered the fact that maybe the reasons why those dinosaurs were contorted in such a way is that they were experiencing such incredible ecstasy, such incredible joy, that, you know, they couldn't help but sort of gyrate into very, like, you know, seemingly uncomfortable positions. But it's really just like, you know, pure exaltation for the possibly incredible feeling of enlightenment. I mean, I don't know if anyone has ever witnessed similar contortions during sex or during an excellent nitrous oxide trip, for example, which I witnessed earlier tonight, what made me think of this. But I don't know, you talked later in the episode about things being half empty or half full, and maybe, I don't know, the most fundamental question of half empty or half full was, you know, the first one. That didn't make any sense. I'm sorry. I think you get what I'm talking about. You guys are smart.
So there we have an alternative view of what might be happening or might have been happening with the dinosaurs. And so what do we think? This sounds like what they call pronoia in the
yes.
in hippie circles.
Perhaps they these
universe
plant
is a
eaters.
Kind place.
Exactly. Maybe these, I don't know, happy plant eaters found some plants with psychedelic properties, knowing their end was near, and went out in the greatest trip of their life.
You know, I'm thinking it's not so unreasonable, given the fact that the dinosaurs did not have cops.
they could be busted for carrying.
We don't know that.
I'm assuming. You're right.
They could have been undercover.
So if we're going to think of who among the dinosaur population would be a cop, do we have a particular strain of dinosaur that we're thinking?
The Snarkosaurus.
The Snarkosaurus?
Yeah. Oh, I think it's
the Narcosaurus.
The Narcosaurus.
Well, that's interesting. If you assume that these positions are expressions that the dinosaurs are giving off in the moments of their death, then it kind of dovetails into this idea that I heard a while back about the theory about DMT in the brain, that it's not founded in any science, but there's a guy who studies DMT, and you know, DMT, a really strong hallucinogen that naturally occurs in the pineal gland of the brain, but nobody understands its role. But he theorized that it could be that when the brain is experiencing death, that a flood of DMT is released and gives the person an experience of the afterlife. It dilates time. It does all these things that DMT does on a really strong trip. And you actually, and this is where, for instance, near-death experiences come in, and why they're all so seemingly uniform. So I don't. Who knows? Maybe they're experiencing some sort of religious ecstasy like this.
We need to ask the anthropologist or whoever to see if the dinosaurs had dimethyltryptamine in the brain. Now, we do know that animals get high. There's quite a bit of evidence of that. There's a wonderful book by I can't remember his name. Ron is his first name, but
that narrows it down.
Yeah.
Okay, Ron, if you're out there,
about all the different ways and drugs, plants, and so forth that animals.
Wait, little desert rats eating peyote and
yeah,
the like.
Yeah, all the different things that animals use to get altered states of consciousness. So I mean, it's not too unreasonable to imagine that some of these animals might have been getting high, and who the heck knows.
Well, and also, how did these dinosaurs also supposedly died from the big one, right? Like the comet hitting or whatever the hell it was. Right. So maybe they were breathing.
Lava flows.
They might have been breathing, you know, some type of noxious fumes that
nitrous.
Actually, yeah, maybe.
Maybe
some sort
they
of,
were in the nitrous trap.
This guy was picking up on the nitrous ecstasies of the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
We need a botanist.
I surrender.
Well, you're right.
I don't want to let the air out of a good discussion, but I'm reminded of something an ex-girlfriend said to me in the middle of an argument once. She said, "You're harping on a dead dog," and that image has never left my mind.
Small angel with a harp.
All I'm trying to say is that we are talking about an entirely extinct species, and though they have a lot of rights. I suppose, you know.
There must be a movement out there with rights for dead dinosaurs right now.
I'm sure there is.
I think there's at least a cry for greater sensitivity.
Yes.
So come on, Larry.
There'll be workshops, of which you will be signed up first.
Well, actually, probably Occam himself would step in at this point and say, you know, if they were breathing noxious fumes, they just might have been choking to death, and that probably isn't a pleasant way to die. So...
Let's move on.
We're not going to get a happy out of this one anyway.
No,
we spin it, are we?
No.
I don't know. I'm feeling happy with the entire thing.
You're feeling happy with the mileage that this topic has gotten, right?
It's made me goofy.
Not to mention the drugs you dropped just a few minutes ago.
It's made me goofy all
yeah,
over.
Yeah, your back is arching, by the way.
And what is feet
people
are doing?
People can tell when I start the flopping on the ground and banging my head. People will know I'm enjoying myself.
After the raptor screams.
So we've definitely had a few guests on lately, I would say, who were sort of the let's burn down Starbucks variety. I hope they don't do it while I'm inside getting one of those delicious overpriced mocha nut bars, but maybe they will. And indeed, many hipsters and counterculture types are extremely hostile to pretty much all forms of commerce. And this year at Burning Man, our friend Larry and company have invited some, quote, green energy companies, unquote, to be part of a world's fair of clean technology. Google is even involved in producing an online 3D service called Burning Man Earth. Although the companies involved have not paid for sponsorship and are prohibited from branding and direct marketing, many burners are in a virtual frenzy about the intrusion of commercial interests onto their hallowed ground. So maybe this is a two-part discussion, since we do like to have pretty abstract, bring up pretty abstract questions on the Are You Serious show. I mean, so in the abstract is a sort of countercultural hostility towards all commerce over the top. And in the specific, yo, Larry, what's up, man?
Well, you know, I think it you said it right. It is virtual hostility, in as much as it is all taking place on the internet.
Right.
And so let's not forget the virtuality.
So if you hate online, you're not really hating at all.
So you haven't caught an F2F? No pies in the face yet or anything like that?
No.
I once got pied, but that's
really?
Another story.
Mm.
Selling out Cyberpunk was what somebody said.
Well, you know, the etiology of this issue is sort of interesting. We announced back in February that we were going to have a pavilion at the base of the Mayan, and we would bring in technology, and this would involve, you know, right. business people. And we also said that informed everyone that they wouldn't be allowed to advertise, they wouldn't be allowed to pass out their cards, they wouldn't be allowed to brand anybody, they wouldn't be allowed to talk about their product, they wouldn't be allowed
to... Wait a second, branding I think would be popular at Boing Boing in that sense that you said, like branding people?
Burning Man, you mean, not Boing
yes,
Boing.
Well,
you said Boing Boing.
Boing Boing, branding, sorry.
What are they doing at Boing Boing?
Well, I've actually participated in a branding. I held a flashlight, but this is in the playa in the dark. And
that was nice of you.
Well, yes,
lest they not see where they're going and turn it on you.
Property of Hell's Angels.
I was there. I was there to help, and
see, there he's a giver.
But I've never used the word branding in relation to what we do privately or publicly in my entire life. I've instructed some staff members that you don't brand people, you brand cattle. There's a whole generation that's grown up that apparently it never paid too much attention to anthropology because they speak entirely in terms of business advertising, and so where you might say identity, they will say branding because that's the only kind
of new word.
Identity that,
exactly.
that they're aware of. But it really wasn't our intention in creating this pavilion to brand anybody. It all started with the Business 2.0 article, and that's what ginned it up. We had announced our plans in detail, months before. No one said anything, and the Business 2.0 article. I believe that people are responding to the writer's attempt to translate what we were saying into business speak. Certainly, what I was saying. I won't speak for my colleague, Marion Goodell. I'll let her speak for herself some other time. But I'll give you an example. The author of that article. Which I actually happen to have. Oh, I thought I brought it with me.
Oh.
Well,
I can paraphrase.
I'll paraphrase. I said if you involve people in the creating of something, it makes it a lot more meaningful. And he said, make your customers feel like, they're experiencing something.
Try to keep customers satisfied.
Well, yes. Yeah, so he translated everything I said
into a
kind of
customer.
Manipulative strategy you'd use if you were marketing.
Yes.
So that, of course, upset people. And then they got the idea that we were opening the gates to big corporations. Now, I don't want to take the wind out of this discussion either, into dinosaurs, but but really, where we're concerned, the so-called big corporations might as well be dinosaurs, because when we went to them and told them that we wouldn't allow them to advertise, we wouldn't allow them to do anything with brand, we wouldn't allow them to jump up on a soapbox and harangue the multitudes, we wouldn't let them
slap stickers on the backs.
We wouldn't let them do anything that would sell their product. They all.
What if they made a really eccentric-looking soapbox
They weren't even interested in it as viral marketing.
Right.
They just all walked away.
Right.
There are no big corporations.
Except maybe Google.
Well, that's something different.
Google is a verb.
I can talk about the Google thing, which I am excited about and have been from the beginning. But what we ended up with... it was hyped a little. It was called a World's Fair. Well, I'm here to tell you it's not exactly a World's Fair. We've got something a little over 30 exhibitors in this space at the base of the man, and the great majority are DIY projects by participants, burners, if you will, with no business profile whatsoever.
But if you think about the DNA of Burning Man, it's all in the presentation, and everybody presumes that all presentations are motivated. They may have commercial reasons for doing it, but they're unaffiliated individuals and groups rather than people with commercial.
Some people had an authentic question. The first thing that would occur to me would, what's their motivation for doing it? Well, the DIY folks, their motivation is the same motivation anybody has at Burning Man. They come out and create something.
Right.
Then there's a lesser number of people involved who are small-time mom-pop entrepreneurs.
Right.
And these are not hulking corporations either. And then it dwindles down. The only thing that could be considered, big capitalism and is, well, it's not that big, but at least Capital would be the guy who's coming out to with this immense solar array. We're going to build that'll power the man, the pavilion, and then we're going to break that up and we're going to give it to the county seat of Pershing County and to Gerlach, and it'll run respectively a hospital and a school. And why did he do that? Well, he usually deals with much larger. He brokers these deals. That's how they make their money. And they take advantage of the fact there's a tax rebate for solar.
Okay.
And that's how they make money. But what that will eventuate in is free energy for these little communities out there. They're not interested in marketing to our participants. They usually do deals with you know, big institutions, and he just thought it would be cool.
So would you say that Burning Man in general leaves a big carbon footprint, and this is kind of I try to leave the biggest carbon footprint I can, so that, you know, in case I get lost, people can find me.
Yes, that's good.
But yeah. Would you say that this is something you're trying
you
to overcome?
You have a basket and drop little bits of carbon, like little peeps.
Little pieces of carbon log away.
And it's also good for future cryptozoological people to find you and learn about
the strange animal, a mix of a human and something else.
Well, you know, the only other thing that could be confused with evil corporate colossi would be the wind turbines. And what we did
what,
there.
What is that again?
Oh, we're going to have some really neat looking big wind turbines.
Wind turbines.
Yeah, they'll be around the
winter bites. So I was picking little ice cream.
And that's the only.
off on the product.
And in that case, we went around the salespeople and talked to the scientists. Scientists, you'll find an artist, and they said, cool. We want people to see these really neat wind turbines. And I don't think there's a consumer model of the wind turbines, so I don't think they're marketing. There's no marketing going on, virally or not, and there aren't any big corporations.
But do you think this might be opening a sort of a Pandora's box of turning Burning Man completely green, in the sense that, I mean, you can't go backwards, right? You can't one year have a big solar array powering part of it.
No.
You have to have it every year, and then you're going to want to expand it.
I think you have to persevere.
And that's going to be a huge project to power the – eventually, you would want to power the whole operation by some renewable resource,
right? It might be an achievable ideal. We're doing everything we can this year. We're not going to back off on that effort. No, but it is it's not the slippery slope of corporate conquests at the event.
Aren't you going to need?
You don't see a baby step towards sponsorship.
No,
and maybe the broader question: do you have to be defensive about this at all? What about the larger question of people's general hostility towards the idea of sponsorship? Here we are. Let it be said: this radio station is happy to accept sponsorship.
Amen. And what are you drinking there? Are you?
Let's not say anything more about 7-Up, but not really, no.
Actually, I wonder, are there any, let's say, like some small mom-and-pop companies or artists or someone that actually became successful by people learning about them from Burning Man, or maybe getting something they created to utilize again and again? Has Burning Man spawned entrepreneurs?
I'm not sure that it has, but I can testify that it's given a lot of artists extensive careers outside
Definitely.
The event. We don't pay them for their work. We pay them for all their materials, and we've given out, you know, last year we got out $250,000, no, this year we're giving out. We give out more than that. It's more like $500,000. And what's happened is they've gone on the circuit and they show up at various countercultural festivals, and at that point, it is profit to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already constructed it with our money.
Right.
And so they show up at Coachella. Coachella was full of Burning Man art, and that went gasp. They were making money. It was commerce.
Were people
they were
objecting to it?
Artists were actually practicing commerce. And And I know that's a very controversial subject, but...
Do you think it really is? I mean, do you know, I mean, of all the people who say that they hate commerce, aren't many of them, don't many of them practice it on a small scale?
This is an argument going around the Bay Area theater community of for-profit versus non-profit, and those who are non-profit funded saying, but the world needs our art, you have to give us money. And people in a for-profit sector going, no, the world doesn't necessarily need your art, and they should only give you money if they want to buy it. It's interesting.
Well, Coachella needs their art, and the Makers Mark or the Makers Fair apparently, you know, wanted that.
Well,
and
being an artist myself, I think the world needs art.
And so I don't see that commerce and community are allergic to one another. That's absolutely absurd.
Some people seem to feel, again, back in the theater community, that if you have if you're given these grants, then you have this artistic freedom. But the reality of that is usually if you're a nonprofit, you have a board and you have to answer the board, and the board can be very conservative, and so you're actually more hidebound, although I'm hugely digressing.
Well, I'm president of a nonprofit. Ours is not very hidebound. It's pretty down to earth, but that can happen, yes. I wrote an entire essay on our newsletter last year about commerce and community, and came to the conclusion that if the end product of commerce is profit, and the end product of all the organization we do is to generate culture and community, but they aren't mutually exclusive. It's what people are outraged at is commerce conducted at such a scale and in such a political climate that it's destructive of community and it's insidiously coercive when it comes to advertising. Mm. Well, that's true. And when you have the stockholders at one far reach on one end of this process, and you have the consuming public at the other end, then that can breed actions that have no conscience whatsoever.
Sure.
But there isn't any reason that you can't engage in commerce. Actually, we let people know when participants are producing something that they might need in the desert. We let people know, and you can take those two value systems and make them overlap in such a way that they reinforce one another. If either one of them dominates, completely subsumes the other, then both take corruption from it. And that was the discourse in that little essay. And to be against commerce is to be against your shoes, your shorts.
People drive to Burning Man in cars. And
Well, I mean, that's Luddite, and everybody knows that if they stop and think. When people say something's too commercial, they mean that a capitalist process has just taken the soul out of something. Sucked the soul out of it.
I was thinking about this too, because the times that I've been to Burning Man, and I was comparing the hype about this being a non-commercial event to the reality, and you know, how much of it was hype. But there was a real sense in which you were pulled outside of the larger economic operations of the world for a couple of weeks, for a week anyway. And I think the reason that is that, sure, there's tons of products that are used to bring Burning Man about. Everybody who goes there buys products with brand names from big corporations and all that. The unique thing about Burning Man is that it's the end of the line for a lot of those products, whereas out in the normal world, they're usually put to some sort of further use, which feeds back into economic system. Whereas out there, and as long as that's the case, as long as it's terminal for those products, that does create kind of a special place for the people who are out there. You know what I mean?
Well, it does. It's a spiritual proposition. You know, goods don't come instilled with meaning. That's the illusion that advertising creates. Mm-hmm. You adopt a lifestyle and you got a life. I'm sorry, it's not true.
Buy this car, everybody. So, what else?
Actually, deconstructionists tend to find meaning in products as well.
If you buy in a marketplace something, take it out to Burning Man, and then use it for creative purpose, you have instilled that with meaning. It's just that years of consumerism have made people so passive and yet bitter, which is a terrible combination.
Yeah, it's really bad.
The instilling process doesn't mean anything to them. They've spent their lives consuming,
and they're kind of anesthetized, not a lot.
In terms of people getting sort of bitchy about all this, the Burning Man has been around for a long time, and like anything that's been around for a long time, people start getting bitchy. Exactly. Is that part of what's going on here?
No,
it is. They've got the idea that you can go out there and be free, and you can thumb your nose at the man. you can pretend that you don't lead your life, you know, for 8 days.
Then you're awful happy to see that Coleman cooler full of ice.
Now we're telling, well, you don't have to, you know, default world. That's your fault. Mm-hmm. Go back and act like you did at Burning Man. Start to change it. You find plenty of collaborators back here. But
that's true.
But yes, we become the man by this perverse logic. The people who organize the event, you know, who devoted their entire lives to this in instances, are evil. And to be evil. To pronounce it as a neocon word, evil. And if it weren't for us, it would be a great thing. I can follow their logic, but I can't agree with that. We're not the man. We create. They also say there'd be no Burning Man except for us. Well, there wouldn't be, but there wouldn't be one except for us too.
Right.
And there's a cart and there's a horse, and people can decide for themselves, you know, who the horse is.
Well, I'm going to have to thumb myself at the man who's not the man, Larry Harvey. We'll be back soon with another episode of the Are You Serious Weekend Edition. Thanks.
Love's the only weapon. Shit!
Are you serious?